How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
I get my news from two old white guys zooming in from anywhere. This Florida man, and hey, that's all, folks. You better take it easy.
Read all about it!
There he is.
Read all about it!
Okay.
Oh my God, this is an exciting week. We have a big announcement to make.
Happy Thanksgiving week, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving week, everybody.
Look at you guys. Holiday weekend. It all went well. No tension, no weirdness. Family, no family drama. Smooth. Lots of alcohol.
Lots of confessing. You know, I've always loved you, but...
Ooh, that's an interesting twist.
Yeah.
Are you going to do... So in fairness, in full disclosure, we're recording this on the Wednesday, on Thanksgiving Eve. Do you go around the table and do what you're grateful for?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Do you load up anything or you just wing it?
Just wing it.
Kind of like the podcast.
I think we should do it right now. Tell me what you're grateful for.
I'm not ready to wing. I don't wing it. I'm grateful that Walmart is getting rid of woke. That's a tease for a story we're about
to do.
That's
good. I'm grateful that methamphetamines have a new way of making it across the border.
Yes, I'm grateful to have gotten to know Chuck Woolery, especially when I was in my teen years.
What are you talking about?
He's in the Obits.
No, Chuck.
He will not be back in 2 and 2. Yeah. He will not. We will. He won't.
Oh, good. I can take that. We can take that.
Hey, so I'm working for a few weeks. No one get excited. At Netflix, right? All of a sudden, yesterday, we parked. The parking garage is on the right here behind what you're about to see. We pull up and there is a giant inflated Jake Paul.
Oh my God.
And it is, you can see literally it's... 1, 2, 3. It's about 3.5 stories tall. It's gigantic. He's in his boxing gloves, right? So there it is from behind. And you can tell it's night now. I'm leaving last night. All of a sudden, I hear a sound. And it starts to go down. I'm like,
yes!
I'm scrambling. I have to get my phone to record video. It went down so fast. There he is, face down. I didn't get it. I got a picture of him after he went down. There's Jake Paul, as he should have been in the fight, face down on the floor.
Do you think that was done on purpose?
No, I think they like brought it from wherever that thing was, probably a fortune, to truck it across the country. I heard it was, I think it was probably in Dallas for the fight, but I heard it was also in New York, and there was a big Tyson one also maybe. But it made it all the way home to headquarters.
Wow, that's perfect. I love that.
Yeah.
A bag of air falling down.
Yep. No, nothing on the inside. Just vacuous.
This country, when you think about the Kardashian, did it start with the Kardashian? No, it started with Paris Hilton.
With Ronald Reagan, if you ask me, but go ahead.
No, I mean, just in terms of the internet, just vapid people with nothing to offer, but they figure out the algorithm and they ride it and they become famous and young people believe the myths that they're putting out and they don't look at, I mean, it's crazy. What's happened to our heroes?
What happened to talent being a prerequisite?
Yeah.
Now, did the algorithm tell you to wear that hat?
This hat was a gift from my mother, I will tell you. I'm going to South Africa in December for 3 weeks with my wife and kids, my stepsister, her husband, and 2 kids, my mother-in-law, My brother-in-law, his wife, their two sons who both have wives.
What audio setting did you just touch?
Oh wait, I had a phone call come in. Can you
Oh, all
hear me
right.
now? Yeah.
Yeah, now you're back to normal.
Some asshole's calling me from a health. Why is it when you make a doctor's appointment, they have to confirm it through text, email, and phone calls three times?
Well, maybe they're somehow seeing this as a recording and they're very concerned about you wearing that hat, and maybe it's an emergency reach out.
This is a great hat because I can swim in it, I can walk in it, I
Right, for
can go
those
to.
listening, it looks like kind of like our logo a little bit. In the logo, it's a great logo from Wizard of Oz. And the Wicked Witch is Greg with his green face. This is a green hat with glasses. And it's a wide-brimmed hat. Now, you don't have the pointy witch part, but you are wearing a very wide-brimmed, I guess you're going to call it a safari hat, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. It's what do you mean I'm going to call it? It's a safari hat. It's a lightweight, it's from REI. It was $49 and my mom got it for me for Christmas.
And is the idea of the safari hat, like the one you're wearing, is the idea that wild animals would be laughing so hard they couldn't possibly attack you?
It's just amazing when you start working with Jeff Ross on these roast type shows, you get so quick. You get so funny. It's like a muscle, isn't it?
Yeah, the hat joke muscle. By the way, speaking of roast, I'll talk about it later in entertainment, but I watched Jeselnik's New Hour. It dropped this week on Netflix.
Oh, can't wait to see
He
it.
listen, he it's he's one of the best joke writers around. The jokes are amazing. They're very similar in theme, of course, a lot about crimes against young children, both sexual and violent. Like that's kind of, his, and I wish in a way he did a little less that, but the jokes are bulletproof. But he ends it. I implore you to stay till the end, and we'll talk about it. But I want to mention one thing because it's about Rose. He tells two true stories at the end, and one is about roasts, and it's a great story about the three roasts he did and one with Mike Tyson, and it's definitely worth it to make it that far.
Can't wait. Hey, think about Jeselnik. I don't know if people realize this. Jeselnik basically tours with a new hour for a year, and then he makes it into a special. And then the next year, he does not tour. He doesn't make money. He performs at the Comedy Store and the Improv, and he just works on the new hour piece by piece, builds it for a year, and then he starts all over again. It's
So
crazy.
what's great up top is he talks about that. He did, but he talks about a year ago he did this like joke in the South and someone said this. Like, so he talks about the experience, and now his closer, because of a comment in the audience, was moved to his opener. Anyway, you'll see it all. It's very good.
Okay, good tease, Mike. Good
Sure.
tease. That logo, by the way, is Bruce Wise, who's a big contributor to the show. Thank you. The song this week, Sam Femino, kind of put some heart and soul into it. Had a little Kris Kristofferson to it.
I heard what's his name from Canada, of course. I'm just Leonard Cohen. I heard
Yeah.
a lot of Leonard Cohen in that song,
All
in a
right.
good way.
Are you on board with Leonard Cohen?
You know what? Here's the thing. Leonard Cohen to me is like Joni Mitchell and like the gym. I know I should be doing it more. I know I'll feel better after it. I also know it's good for me. But I don't do it as much as I should.
I would not put him, I mean, Joni Mitchell's Canadian as he is. Other than that, I have no idea why those two go together. Joni Mitchell's album
What?
Blue. Her album Blue is my top three albums of all time.
Wait, you know he's considered top, I guess we could put top five for sure, but many people consider him the top Canadian lyricist, songwriter ever.
Neil Young?
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, he's like the Bob Dylan. He's Bob Dylan-ish.
No, I feel the same way as you. I respect him. I kind of get it, but I think like who's the other? Oh, like John Prine. I get it. Everybody loves him. He's meaningful. He's quality. He's a journeyman. But I'm not gonna. I'm just not gonna listen to it.
No, Prine is a little more listenable for sure than Cohen.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Some people didn't agree with us. Last week we got some corrections.
What?
Unbelievable. You think after all these years, people would just realize that we're nailing it and not to nitpick, but they do. Mike said, while ending this week's show, you told us to watch your special Life on Stage. I'm such a good fan. I played You Know Me on YouTube and Life on Stage on Amazon while doing the dishes last night. Life on Stage was my last special, which
you
is on
confused your
Amazon.
Specials?
I confused them.
Oh, boy.
I mean, because neither name is good.
What do you mean? You Know Me?
It's not bad, right?
I like that.
All right. I think you picked it.
I think I did.
Yes. No wonder you like it. Tim Dilly said, well done. Tim Dilly is our friend who we played golf with. He donated money to the Writers Guild strike in exchange for nine
holes.
He
ended it. He ended the strike.
With the Irish Mafia. That's right. Well done, Mike, at the 1 minute, 9 second mark of the 1 hour, 30 minute podcast. Mike said that Arizona State played Duke in men's basketball. In fact, Duke played the University of Arizona, not Arizona State.
Here's the confusion. The bet was proposed by our buddy Rabi, who went to Arizona State. So I just thought that's why he's interested. But you're right. Also, very important, I don't give a shit.
I'll second that. That
I'll just
story,
say Arizona.
That was the Leonard Cohen of corrections for the day. Yeah. I was there last weekend. I was in Tempe. And did you see the end of the Arizona?
Yes, they all ran on the field.
They all ran on the field. I've never seen that happen in football history. It's a stadium that holds 100,000 people. I would say 60,000 of them were on the field because the game ended. But then the ref looked at it and realized there was 1 second left on the clock and they were down by less than a touchdown. So
Hail Mary could do it.
So BYU received the ball on a kickoff and there's 3 seconds left. So they had enough time to receive it. They got it to the 30. And then they called a play through a Hail Mary, which the guy fucking caught on the 2 yard line and couldn't push across the end zone. He would have flipped it. Craziest Amazing. Ending I've ever seen. It took Amazing. Them a half an hour to get all the kids off the field.
Yeah.
And they had pulled down the goalpost.
They're also that is Arizona State, and they're not bright there.
They
unlike
are
the
not
University
bright.
Of Arizona.
Did I tell you I figured out their school colors?
Yeah, aren't they in the name or something?
No, it's tan and blonde.
Oh.
It's uncanny how many blonde kids go to that school.
David Spade.
Oh, my God.
He's one of them.
Didn't Brody go there?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think maybe I'm confusing. He played baseball. I think it was Arizona State.
All right, so there's a bunch of schools that are either state or University of Michigan. Obviously, University of Michigan, where your daughter went to school or is about to graduate.
And a
from
big
school.
Rivalry with Michigan State down the road.
But which schools are, is it always the University of that's better than the city state and this, than the.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
Like University of Michigan's better than Michigan State. Is University of Arizona better than Arizona State?
Right. Like the university schools. System in California, UCLA, UC Santa Barbara, is, I think, generally considered better than Cal State, you know, Cal State Northridge, Cal State wherever. There's very good Cal
State. Well, because UC has got Berkeley, which is the crown jewel.
Yeah. So but I should just say I don't know. But the university ones are not. Maybe it's that they're private. Is it that simple? We're not.
Yeah, I think
ones?
So. I think University of Texas is better than Texas State. Right.
Now, I bet there's a list that people could point to of very, very good state schools that are better than their counterparts. I'm sure that's the case, even in California.
Yeah.
Cal State Poly, for instance, is very good. You know, that's just off the top of my head. And I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, write us in if you have some responses. And then we got Meep Zork is this gentleman's name who's been a part of the show for many years.
Sure, Meep.
He said the song with Moon Unit Zappa is called Valley Girl, not Jewish Princess.
Did you mention Jewish Princess?
I think we were.
Is that another song of his?
No, I think I mistook the song Valley Girl for a song called Jewish. I thought it was called Jewish Princess. But Moon Unit Zappa is actually a good friend of mine. She's a great chick. She wrote a book called America that I highly recommend.
Nice.
Tour dates coming up. San Francisco Punchline, December 5th through the 7th. Come on out. I like to sell
Coming
these
up.
shows out. It's my second favorite club in the country. It's legendary. Robin Williams started there. Dana Carvey, all those guys. And the women, Paula Poundstone, Ellen, your own Ellen DeGeneres.
Of course.
Who we talked about last week, who has left the country.
I don't know if that's happened yet.
Well, she'd better go soon because...
let's celebrate.
Yeah.
And she might have crossed paths with a guy named Jake Johansson in those parts who had a very unique delivery. And let's just say Ellen has that unique delivery.
Yes, I think we can say that Jake is going to live on in spirit in England.
Yes.
I hope she finds a little pub and starts doing stand-up on Tuesday nights at Ye Olde King's Head in Plumsbury.
Yeah.
Cleveland Hilarities, December 13th and 14th. Great restaurant as well as a great club. Janesville, Wisconsin in January. Also Nyack, Raleigh, Milwaukee, Vegas, Atlanta, Hollywood, Ontario, Toronto, Pittsburgh. Go to fitzdog.com. Get yourself some tickets. Come out and see some live comedy. We have no advertisements this week. So this particular program is coming to you. Well, actually, no. But should we get into this now? Yeah. So a lot of people, we asked you last week. We've got this new ad service that inserts pre-produced ads into the show. And we've been doing it for about 3 weeks, maybe a month. And we were curious the feedback on it. And universally disliked by the listeners because the ads are dropped just right haphazardly in the middle of the show, not in the middle of a sentence or even a story. And people don't like that. And also the volume apparently is about four times louder than the podcast.
Wow.
So anyway, there's points of insertion. And I went to the app because there's an app where I control all of this. And I removed the middle of the show insertion. So I think the only ads are before and after the show now. And I'm going to talk to them about the volume and see if we can work with that. But we would hate to take a show that we care about as much and put as much effort into and have people turned off by advertising because we need it, obviously, to pay for the show. We pay our producers a pretty good amount of money every week to do the show. And so we need to make it, but we don't want to sacrifice the quality to do that. So thanks for the feedback.
Also, maybe we, speaking of ads, talk about the shirts.
Let's do it. Here's how we're going to make up for the income that we just lost by not putting ads in the middle of the show. We are announcing, it's official, that the Sunday Papers t-shirts are on sale. As of right now, if you go to fitzdog.com, you're going to find a link for the t-shirts. They are available in extra small through double XL. You can choose. There's seven different colors to choose from. It's a high quality cotton shirt. It just says Sunday Papers with a cool little graphic on it. And I believe you can also get a shirt that says Take It Ish.
Okay, then.
Yeah. So if you want to get that, that's also available. So get on there now. Plenty of time before the holidays. These will get to you within 6 days of ordering the shirt. Mike is not handling shipping and delivery. This is being done by a highly professional company. Well, we're all caught up. It's a year later, and I think we're all caught up on the koozies. So now we can launch the t-shirts in a professional manner and pick them up. I believe they're $26 plus shipping and handling. And we'd love for you to support the show. We'd love for you to walk around and people ask what's Sunday Papers, and then you tell them and we get some more listeners. And it's just a great way to say, hey, thanks, guys. And we hope you're proud of the show and you want to walk around with it on your chest and your tits.
Oh, fellas.
Hey, now.
All right. Do we have a piece of paper?
Let's see. I have some whole cashews from Trader Joe's.
Oh, that's going to serve it. That does it. That'll serve the purpose.
Two inmates, this is a great story. Two inmates in solitary confinement have revealed an exceedingly unusual way they got pregnant without even meeting. Daisy Link, 29, gave birth to a baby girl on June 19th while serving time at the Turner Gilford Correctional Center in Miami. She had been behind bars for about 2 years, serving time for murdering her boyfriend.
Oh, Daisy.
Oh, she's going to be a good mom. The pregnancy confounded Link's family, who suggested she was sexually assaulted and demanded an internal investigation. Sounds like somebody else investigated internally, too. But it has now been revealed that the baby's father is another inmate, Joan DePaz, 23, who is also accused of murder. Gee, wonder
Joan.
What sci-fi fucking movie's coming out of this.
Yeah.
The two had never met face-to-face and had never even touched. She said it was like the Virgin Mary. So
yeah,
what happened is
you know that
DePaz,
you know that boyfriend killer, Mary.
What happened is DePaz, the guy, passed his semen through the air conditioning vents in their cells. You would knock on it and you can hear people from different floors. You stand on the toilet, you talk to them. And through the vents, two inmates began a romantic relationship, passing notes and photos back and forth. Eventually, DePaz shared his dreams of sometime having a baby. He remembers saying that I didn't really plan on doing it for a long time, but if I had to choose somebody, you know, it would be you. And she was like, yeah, we could do that. It's just like Romeo and Juliet, the writing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's amazing. They went right through the air conditioning duct. The hardest part, apparently, was stuffing that freezing cold sperm inside of her hot vagina.
Okay. Yeah, I guess she was worked up, huh?
Yeah, are you kidding me?
All right, first of all, they have AC in prisons?
I don't have AC in my house.
And also, how powerful is this AC unit that it shoots it in her twat? Is that good for the algorithm?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, to put your sperm in the AC, most inmates just hurl it at the female guards.
Yeah, exactly. Like Migs in Silence of the Lambs.
That's right. Look what happened to him.
I told you with Ben Hoffman, we were going to do an actor's studio with the guy who played Migs. And just the whole, all the cue card, all the index cards from the Actors Studio Q&A from James Lipton was just going to be about throwing sperm. How did you do it? Did you train? Were you, you know, like what acting school did you go to? Is there a sperm throwing acting school?
That's great.
All right. So we had difficulty having our first child back in the in 2001. It was right around 9/11. I remember because we had an appointment that day and we're like, is it closed now? It should be. But I remember anyway, one of the phases was I had to go. They wanted to test mine or whatever. So I had to go put it in. I had to go produce sperm. And then I had to put it in a cup. If I did it at home, because one time I did it at home, I had to put it under my arm to keep the little like petri dish under my arm to keep it warm as I drove there, because I remember thinking of a Curb Your Enthusiasm, because I'm like, this is kind of dangerous. Also, what if I had a stick shift and all this? And I thought that would be a funny curb. Someone gets in an accident, but he doesn't have time to exchange because he has sperm under his arm. I thought that would be pretty funny.
Wait, why couldn't you do it at the office?
No, I then did. But it's like I had to go through a series of them. And then one was like, it was like I couldn't go in. It didn't open in time and I had to get to work. Whatever it was. I did one of them at home and brought it in.
Wow.
Because I told you the other one I did there. They like put me in the room when they're like, you know, there's magazines and videos. And so I'm like, all right. So I opened the drawer. And in addition to heterosexual porn. There was gay porn. And I'm so stupid. I was like, oh man, like these guys are keeping this big, they shouldn't have a baby if they're gay with her. Like they have these giant secrets, not thinking like how many, it's probably used more by gay men trying to, you know, use a surrogate.
I think if that's a really...
Meanwhile, I muscled through it. I had no problem getting one out in record time, but that was a big question hanging in the air.
I think it would be a really good premise for a movie that a guy goes in to give sperm to his wife and there's gay porn and he just happens to look at it, gets the biggest erection he's ever had, realizes he's gay, but now the wife wants the baby.
He also keeps like, he's like sleeping outside the clinic. What time do you open? I got to get back to that video you have in there. I can't find it anywhere else.
Yeah. All right. This brings us to our next story.
World's largest retailer, Walmart, nixes DEI and LGBT themed products. The move by the world's largest retailer marks a seismic shift in corporate strategy that comes after attacks by conservatives and activists at the company's woke policies. Some of the sweeping changes include abandoning a $100 million racial equity center set up in 2020 after the killing of George Floyd and leaving a prominent LGBTQ plus gay rights index. The retail juggernaut also won't be giving priority treatment to suppliers that are 51% owned by women, minorities, veterans, or members of the LGBTQ community. You know what? America is great again. Can you feel it? And it didn't cost much for Walmart to pivot on the equity center. They just changed the sign and added an IN. It's now the inequity center. And they added another 100 million. It's a $200 million inequity center.
Yeah, Walmart, our country's conscience, Walmart. They are still committed, though, to the seminars for the workers on getting welfare because of the low pay. You know that they do that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're the worst.
Yeah. And I guess because of not supporting the LGBTQ, they're no longer going to stiff women's Levi's in size 34 by 26 with rainbow suspenders and 4-inch cuffs will be out of stock.
Well, yeah, that size. Yeah, they're back to bigger sizes again, I think, without the rainbows. All right. A new rule allows HIV positive organ transplants.
That's a positive story.
The new rule, which takes effect today, is expected to shorten the wait for organs for all, regardless of HIV status, by increasing the pool of available organs. Previously, such transplants could be done only as part of research studies. Poor monkeys. The rule removes unnecessary barriers to kidney and liver transplants, expanding the organ donor pool and improving outcomes for transplant recipients with HIV. Listen, we've got great news. We found you a liver donor. His name is Charlie Sheen. So good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. The liver comes with an IV. I mean, look, gay guys are always trying to stick an organ in another guy, so this makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's a little unclear. I guess it does widen the pool. I wonder if there was a limit on giving it to people with HIV. That probably wasn't one of the limitations. It's just the donors, right?
Yes. I mean, look, it's natural to lose 75 pounds after surgery.
You look great. That was another Curb story I pitched, by the way. I officially pitched. You write them down, you send them, and who knows if you ever read them. But one was Larry's in the gym, and all these buff dudes and everything, and it turns out they're gay, and he's like, what do you do? What's going on? He's like, well, you know, I have to work out. I'm HIV positive. He's like, well, tell me more about it. And anyway, long story short, Larry decides, I'm just going to do the HIV protocol. I'm going to take the shake in the morning. I'm going to go to an HIV doctor. This guy looks more alive than I do, and he has HIV. And so I thought that would have been
That's
a good
That's good.
One.
I like that. I don't think they ever did HIV on Curb.
I think they had to have. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess somebody sent some styrofoam coolers to Haiti. Their new export. It's going to be their number one export in the
is going
country.
to be their number one export now.
Think
You
this is
a meth man,
you.
don't you?
Is this me or you? Oh, this is
You.
me. Oh, a California man was arrested at LAX after he allegedly tried to check two suitcases filled with clothing soaked in methamphetamine, including a cow pajama onesie. Prosecutors
Yes.
have indicted Raj Muthari, 31, with one count of possession with intent to distribute meth. Just imagine this cow pajama, what a hit it would have been at a furry rave.
It's a solid bet this plane was going to Ibiza or Barstow. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, we're going to Ibiza connecting through Barstow for about 7 minutes.
I think if you can please everybody, the connection is tight. If you can let the man in the cow pajama onesie plane, he has a connection.
Be right back, but he'll be missing the bottom half of the outfit.
Don't worry, he will be very quick. He will be very quick. You wouldn't believe this disembark. It's going to be record time.
Harvey Weinstein's lawyers filed a legal claim Tuesday against New York City, alleging that he is receiving substandard medical treatment in unhygienic conditions while in custody at Rikers Island. First of all, we should say, in his defense, Rikers Island, it doesn't get any worse.
No.
The claim accuses the facility of failing to manage the former movie mogul's medical conditions, which include chronic myeloid leukemia and diabetes, and negligence ranging from freezing conditions to a lack of clean clothes. His lawyer said, "When I visited him, I found him with blood splatter on his prison garb, possibly from IVs, clothes that had not been washed in weeks, and he had not even been provided clean underwear. Hardly sanitary conditions for someone with severe medical conditions." He compared the place to a gulag. He also was not provided with a potted plant to jack off in.
I'm wondering where's Harvey's air conditioning? Does Rikers have air conditioning? He could reduce stress by jacking it into his AC, maybe get another person pregnant.
I mean, he could sexually harass a woman in another cell.
Yeah.
I think that I would think or would have thought that the attorney's main complaint would be the almost constant prison rape. Like, I think that would move to the top of the list over it's a little chilly.
Exactly.
And what's with the wanting clean, fresh clothes? Does he want to look sharp for the other inmates? I think the better strategy is unkempt and smelly.
If he's unkempt, I mean, he is one of the more gruesome looking people. Even when
Yes.
he was at like the Oscars in black tie, he looked like a pig. Do you think, very unpopular question, I'm just going to say that out front, very unpopular question. Do you think, especially with this stuff, right? Is there a chance to some people, the minority, he gets
To black
sympathetic?
people?
He what?
To black people?
No, that he gets sympathetic. When his story is told and he's dead, right? And you look back on it, I'm wondering what the most heinous, what did you, if you were dealing with someone who viewed him as sympathetic, what's the most damning story you tell first? Well, I don't know which one that was.
You mean if you're trying to remind people how bad he was? Because they've
Yeah.
forgotten. I mean, I know there was forcible rape. There was definitely women held down and raped, but
All right, that's all you need.
there was also systematic, like, just fucking being gross, jerking
Oh, the
off in front of
systematic
people.
exploitation,
Yeah. I
absolutely.
mean, women who lost their jobs because they wouldn't have sex with them, and
But if
and
he
the
dies in really rough shape as an old man riddled with cancer in Rikers, you're going to get some people who take his side in the pun in thinking the punishment was too harsh. I'm not saying he
Well,
should be free, but and I'm also not one of those people. I am just entertaining the thought. I think they're making it easy for people to say they went too far with this guy?
Well, I mean, look, there's a consensus among a lot of Americans that if you ended up in jail, you don't deserve any human rights. And I don't agree with that. I think there's a lot of people in prison for three strike laws, fucking pot possession, circumstantial things where maybe they're innocent. So I think there should be a baseline quality of life for people in a prison.
But that shouldn't include conjugal visit AC units.
No.
That should not come with it.
Right, right.
Let's do some entertainment.
Okay.
I have a letter right here. You have cashews. This gentleman's, oh, it's a blank piece of paper.
I got it.
All right.
I started watching Say Nothing. I think that was our homework assignment this week, was to watch
Didn't
Say
do it.
Nothing. So I won't get too into it because I don't want to ruin it for you. But I read the book. The book was one of the most powerful books I've read. It's about the troubles in Northern Ireland, in Belfast and Derry. And it tracks two stories. And one of them is Dolores Price and her sister, who come from a legacy of IRA members, and how they get involved. And it's a true story. And it's really powerful. And seeing the depiction of the British military coming into Northern Ireland and absolutely just torture, like literally picking up people randomly off the street, old men, women, and torturing them and holding them for as long as they want. You know, and first of all, this is an area where there was no voting rights for the Catholics, or there was limited voting rights. None of the good jobs went to the Catholics. It was abusive. They couldn't get housing. And this has gone on for 800 fucking years. And to watch this show, I was crying. I was literally crying at how angry I still get towards the British of how they treated us. They treated us like fucking animals. They looked at us like we were beneath human beings. And this story is... it's a powerful story, and the miniseries is very well done. It's on Hulu.
All those stories of exploited people, especially at the hands of incredibly powerful opposing forces, those always get me. Whether it's slavery, whatever it is,
yeah.
It's like it's so heinous.
No, but being Irish, it will hit you even harder. It really hits me at a deep level because my grandfather was in the IRA. He was a messenger for the IRA when he was a teenager in Ireland. And
all right, well, lightening it up a little bit. Avoid, in my opinion, at all costs, a movie called Substance, which somehow has mostly good reviews. It is by this French woman who made. Her first movie was too violent to be distributed or something. I went on Wikipedia, like, who the fuck is this? It's with Demi Moore. The reason
Demi?
It's getting all these, I don't know what her name is. The reason it's getting all these positive reviews is she was brave enough to be naked. Naked a lot. And
Demi Moore was naked a lot?
Yes.
Huh.
Do not rush there. Trust me. So then it gets so grotesque, but it's like there's a culture. I thought for sure it was and maybe she is gay, but it was so flamboyant and over the top, so over the top with blood spurting literally like a fire hose in a theater covering everyone's like drowning in it. The most over the top performances ever. It's the worst piece of shit I've ever seen.
Where did you see it?
Anna and her daughter came here and they bought it. So I fucking am on record for buying this movie on a streamer. I don't even know where it is. So I then went and looked at Metacritic and found the reviews. And the best was Chicago is having none of it. Both the Tribune and the, what is it? The Courier of Chicago. Oh man, I'm spacing out. Anyway, both of them hated it. It was fantastic. And they say everything I was thinking.
Great series about Martha Stewart. I believe it's on Netflix. And
everyone loves it.
I mean, look, we all know.
She did not have creative control. That's the key to a good documentary.
Martha Stewart has woven her way through our culture since we were kids. I mean, she is a dominant force. She created a type of viewing for women that was, on one hand, it was true to like the fucking Betty Crocker and who was the woman from England who did the cooking show?
Julia Child?
Julia Child's, like, it really was a hands-on, here's how you do it. But it also kind of made women feel empowered that they could be working women, that they could be independent and also love crocheting and also love centerpieces and cooking. And she's just a perfectionist. And I mean, it comes across that she was a real pain in the ass to work for. As a matter of fact, Erin is related to somebody that worked for her and actually doesn't speak badly about her, but said she is a very tough boss.
Well, her blind spot when it was a promo that went around, her blind spot of where her husband cheated on her and just get out.
Yeah.
Everyone get out. And then you hear off camera. But didn't you cheat on him? She's like, what? She's like, oh, that was early on. And that was, no, that was very different. Like,
and he didn't know, and he never knew about it.
Yeah. The double standard.
But the double standard is, if a man was that powerful and demanding and cheated on his wife, it would be nothing. That would not be the story. The story would be that he was successful. And so when she got sent to jail, that insider trading was like a $35,000 trade for her, which her broker called her. She was on vacation in the fucking Caribbean. She got a phone call that he thinks is this stock is going down. Should we sell? She said yes. He never said, I have inside information. She never got it. She got it from her broker directly. That guy went to jail for a long time. She got dragged in because I really do believe, I mean, the spirit of this documentary is, there was a double standard, and there was a lot of people that didn't like a powerful woman, you know, taking charge of her business the way she did.
But like a lot of powerful people, but we're moving constantly, and there's a wake of sometimes destruction behind them that they cannot be bothered with, and they also have very much double standards.
Yes, I mean, it's Ellen. It made me think of Ellen DeGeneres a lot, actually.
Yeah. Just to avoid a correction, and you're gonna not believe me, Julia Child is a child or child?
Child.
Julia Child is from Pasadena.
No.
Yes.
Why does she talk like that?
What? She talks like this? That's not British.
Oh, God.
Julia Child was born August 15th, 19. I should have saved that, even though it's not this date. 1912. She's an American chef, author, and television personality. She's recognized for having brought French cuisine to the American public with her debut cookbook, Mastering the Art of French Cooking.
Well, she was married to a British guy.
Is that what you're going to say?
No, I'm just trolling people. No, I don't know.
She was married to Paul Cushing Child, an American civil servant and diplomat.
Yeah, but he was a diplomat. He was ambassador to England.
So British, born in Jersey. Died in Lexington, Massachusetts. Perhaps one of the most American cities of all time.
Wow. All right. All right. You know, if we're going to get hung up on details, I also have been watching season two of Bad Sisters. Season one was one of the great experiences in TV watching that I've ever had. It's an Irish show.
Yep.
Season two is good. It's not as good. Very hard to follow up a great first season. I mean, think about how many shows, like, even what was the soccer show with the guy from SNL?
Oh, yeah, Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso, great first season. Second season, awful.
Well, that's why. I mean, the real greats, Sopranos,
The Wire,
Game of Thrones, The Wire, Breaking Bad. You know, someone reminded me, it's like, this is how you know a truly great band. When in concert, they say, we're going to play you a new one. And you are psyched.
Yes.
You can't wait to see this evolution. Where are they going?
Yeah. When I go to see Foreigner, and they say we got some new stuff, I'm just like, let's fucking go. Oh, by the way, speaking of that phrase, in Say Nothing, there's a scene where the IRA is throwing Molotov cocktails at the British. And one of the guys goes, let's go, let's go. And they kept saying, let's go. It's like, no, no, no. That phrase started last year. I fucking hate it when there's a period piece that uses vernacular from current times and the writers don't notice. Nobody said, let's go in 1972.
You don't, Greg, let's go.
The way he said it, it was like, you know, the way people say it now.
Yeah, no, of course. With a ton of O's.
Yeah, it was that.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there also another scene where some girl goes, Hak Tua?
I hope
Which
so.
Also
I hope that's
was around before
three.
Her.
Yeah.
I think it was Lil' Kim. But it was also, all those sayings are also, most of them, they're around. And then someone, though, does it and it goes viral. Mm.
All right, you already talked about Justin Licks. Let's move on to...
Well, no, no. So I want to say... After the roast story, he then, it's the second to last thing he does in the hour, because he just tells a joke at the end. But he then tells a very true Norm MacDonald story. And
oh,
it's great.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. All right. Time to make America Florida. All right. This is a little brutal, but so we'll try not to dwell on it. South Florida man is accused, more than accused. I'm going to come out. I'm going to say he did it. South Florida man fatally beat golfer with club at a course in Palm Beach Gardens.
Dennis Gubbins read the story and went, yeah, I get it.
A West Palm Beach man is accused of beating to death a 65-year-old man with a golf club, choking him on the first hole of a public course and holding his head in a pond. Detectives met with a witness who said he had been playing golf on the first hole with two other people when they heard a man yelling. They then found the victim fleeing from the suspect. The witness told officers the suspect was holding a golf club and swinging it towards the victim. The witnesses told them that the guy was yelling, he's trying to kill me multiple times. At one point, both men fell to the ground and the guy struck him numerous times with the club. After they separated, the guy, the killer, retrieved another club and because he was closer to the hole and again chased him toward the pond. So
yeah,
it's a gory story. Go
yeah,
ahead.
They got to like 100 yards from the green. And he's like, this is a 9-iron. This is a 9-iron now.
Yeah, I'm not hitting it that well. I'm not hitting the human head that well lately. I think I should go pitch and wedge.
Well, you know, in the guy's defense, the human head of the guy, he was white and he had pock marks and he thought he was a Titleist.
I know. I wish it was on a private course. I'd have a little more understanding of the resentment of this guy.
I think when he was running away from him, what really slowed him down was carrying the golf clubs.
The thing is, the victim's wife is never going to believe why he's late this time. Every time he plays golf, he has another excuse.
I just love, like, I can get angry. I can lash out. But then I stop. Like, most people have flashes of rage, but then they you know, after the first burst, you don't then change clubs. You don't then drag him to a pond and put his head in. Like, that's real fucking... That's a psychopath.
All right. Well, you're right. The problem with this story is no one researched it, but the killer was not a golfer. So it did remind me of mentally ill people who used to flank the at Penmar on Rose Avenue.
Yes.
And I remember you're like you just leave the ball over there. What was your line about that?
I was like, by the way, anybody see a ball? I lost my ball. And they're like, I lost my house.
I lost my family. Yeah, you're like, you know what? I'll let that one go. I'm going to drop here. I'm going to drop it. All right, let's make Texas Florida. A North Texas man was arrested for allegedly shooting arrows at Walmart customers. The 47-year-old took a hatchet, a bow, arrows and arrowheads. I didn't know they sold arrowheads from the store, then barricaded himself in the store, surrounding himself with items, and he started firing arrows at employees and customers. No one was injured, luckily. But you see, Walmart no longer woke. You go in there, you can load up on all the firearms and all the weapons they have and just go to town.
No, what's great is there is no firearms. This is kind of like a vision of what it's going to look like once the libtards take everybody's guns away.
Yeah, I should say it's weapons, not firearms. Yeah.
This was like a mass shooting from like the 1800s.
Yeah.
Wild Bill Hickok in a Walmart.
Yeah, and for all you people that say, oh, it's no guns, it's like the weapons of a violent person, here's probably a good example. I think he could have sprayed a couple of them with bullets if he had the opportunity.
Yeah.
All right, what are we doing here?
Let's do some sports.
Do we have sports?
Yes, here's what we have in sports. Mike Gibbons, who I guess the World Series was in October, and he lost $100 to me. It's now almost December, and the $100 has not been paid to me.
Here almost it comes, like, right goddamn now.
Almost like
the
koozies.
It was not $100.
It was $100.
Was it really? Okay.
Yes.
Like, boy, I caved fast there. I thought it was 50. Okay, it's 50 with Ruby. All right. Whoops, up here. It's coming right now, but I already paid you for the koozies.
The koozies came in last week. Got the 100 now. Now I can take my wife and my mother out to dinner tonight, somewhere cheap, maybe In-N-Out Burger.
I know, it's unbelievable. Don't order in, because it costs like $60 for a burrito when you order in Los Angeles.
Oh, it's crazy.
You don't have to wait for me.
All right, let's go to international.
You've been served. All right. The Pope's surgeon faces fraud trial for pretending to operate. The prosecutor said there were 29 occasions when this surgeon stated that he was in the operating theater when he was actually elsewhere. So this is the guy, this is the Pope's doctor. Now, it's not about when the Pope was under the knife. This is just the hospital near the Vatican. The investigation into the doctor's alleged absenteeism began after a complaint from a female patient who said she did not believe she had been operated on by the doctor, despite his name featuring in hospital records. So she had her time of surgery, and then they investigated and they saw he left the hospital an hour before and was at a speaking engagement.
Well, where's this woman's faith? Like, it's like God can be everywhere at once. Can't this doctor?
Yeah, they do have the doctor, the God complex.
Does she not believe in miracles? I mean, why does she get the Pope's doctor? You know, meanwhile, like, she buys that the Pope turns water into wine.
There's no leap of faith here. It's really on her.
Yeah.
Also, why doesn't the church just move this doctor to another parish where he can keep committing these crimes? And then when he's busted there, move him to another parish where he can keep doing the crimes. How are they not seeing how easy this is?
Right. I know. He should really go into pediatrics. Most of the Pope's people are pediatricians. All right.
Should we go down to this day in history?
It's good at this day in history. We're moving it along today. This is going to be a tight one, people. We got Thanksgiving cooking to do.
Okay.
We also have the big day tomorrow, which hopefully your family is going to be a big part of, because normally you're up in Ojai. This year you're here. You got your fiance and your daughter's home, and we've got the annual soccer game that I started about at least 12 years ago. And
they were little kids. I think it was 20 years ago.
Yeah. And so big soccer game. We sometimes have like 30 or 40 people out there, and then we go home and have dinner, and then we go to the beach at 7 o'clock, and we get about 30 or 40 people running into the ocean screaming. And then everybody's going to come back to my house. We're going to have a giant lobster pot filled with spiked cider. Everybody brings dessert. It's gonna usually it's at the Dunsky's house, and they're away this year, so I'm picking up the rent. It's a little more limited. I don't think we invited as many people as the Dunsky's invite.
Right. No, that was a big neighborhood thing for sure.
Yeah.
All right, pal. Rosa Parks selfishly did not give up her bus seat on this day. In what year, give or take, I'm going to be generous, 4 years. It's a 9 year window.
I'm going to say 1958.
You did it. 1955. See, I knew it was earlier.
Yeah.
You know, the details about that is she actually sat in a seat that was approved for black people. But then more white people came on the bus, and the bus driver got up and moved the row back one.
Oh.
And that's when she refused to move.
Yeah. So she really wasn't that brave. She was just, the line was in the sand.
No, but also it's a fascinating story. So this bus driver and she did not get along. So if there were no seats in the front, when you were an African American and you had to pay, you had to come in the front door, pay. You were not allowed to walk through the white section to get back to the black section if there were whites on board. You had to then get off the bus, go to the rear door. So a time very close to this, before this, she got on paid and then she tried to walk. He's like, no, you know the rule. You got to go out and through the back door. When she got off the bus, he closed the doors and took off after she paid.
No.
Yep. Fucking
It's
asshole.
so hard to imagine that 75 years ago
I was born 12. You were born 11 years after this.
that in this country, people based on the color of their skin were told where they could go, where they couldn't go. And this is after, the constitutionally, there was supposed to be equality, and still you had, what do they call them? Jim Crow laws?
Yeah.
Crazy. And then people want to go, oh, black people should just get over it. It wasn't that fucking long ago. I look at how angry I get about the Irish
Right.
around that
Yeah, I
same
was trying to
time.
point that out.
And
Yeah.
I can't imagine how black people feel. They're, I don't even live in Ireland.
No,
Anyway.
it's unbelievable. But a new topic that's been floated is white reparations. You know
Yeah.
about this.
What's that?
White reparations is to compensate white people who might not have gotten a job because of quotas and because of woke America recently, handing out jobs and stuff and skipping white people's resumes and all that type of stuff. White reparations, I wish I were making it up. We're thinking of doing it on this roast of the year that I'm working on Netflix. And we're thinking, we start riffing in the room of like, yeah, white reparations. Also, let's go back to the civil rights movement. You know how expensive it was to build two bathrooms, one for black men, one for white men? Those white people need to be paid back for that. It was costly. Two walk-arounds. Yeah.
The baseball bats that we bought to break up the marches, those are Louisville Sluggers.
We had to train German shepherds not to attack white people. That's a whole extra layer. Not all the dogs can do it. All right. On this day, in what year was the legend Richard Pryor born? I'm going to give or take 3 years, again, generous.
Well, he was big in the 70s. He was around in the late 60s. So I'm going to give him my mother's birthday. My mother was born, no, a little earlier. I'm going to say 39.
1940.
Nice. Yeah, my mom was 42, but I figured he's a little older than her.
The first World AIDS Day was held.
Oof.
The first World AIDS Day was held, give or take 3 years in this year.
All right, I worked in a hospital in 1983, and that was when AIDS was just coming up. Like literally, I delivered food to the rooms of the patients, and I forget what they called it back then, but it wasn't even called AIDS in 1980. Maybe it was 82. They didn't even call it AIDS in 82 or 83. It was called something else. And I had to wear a mask and plastic gloves, and we used disposable silverware. So AIDS Day would have taken a few years after that. I'm going to say 87.
Golly, 88.
Nice.
Look at you. You're undefeated.
I'm 3 for 3.
The world's first moving assembly line debuted, used in manufacturing Model Ts at a Ford factory in Highland Park, Michigan. The innovation was the idea of owner Henry Ford, and it revolutionized the auto industry. This revolution was on this day in what year, give or take 4 years?
Look how tight the windows are getting because I'm on fire today.
Well, I mean, you have a lot of clues there. It's the Model T production.
Yeah, I would say I know that people were driving in the 20s, so this must have been before that. I'm going to say 1911.
Lordy Lou, 1913.
Hey now.
I mean, maybe we should get out. I don't know, Madame Tussaud, who cares when she was born? Okay, last one. Because I remember where I was, and it was appointment viewing. They told us what time of day this new music video called Thriller was going to be
Oh.
premiering on MTV. And I was home for Thanksgiving break, and I remember not missing it. So the groundbreaking music video for Michael Jackson's song Thriller aired on MTV for the first time on this day in what year, give or take 2 years? I'm
Look
giving you
how
a
tight these windows
five-year
are.
window, pal.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to say 1980.
I love it. 83.
Oh,
We're going to end on
shit.
that note. I love it. Missed by one.
I should have known that. Oh, what am I thinking? I bought tickets for that tour. You were allowed 6 tickets, and me, I was a parking attendant, so I should have known. I was 17 years old, and I was a parking attendant. And I left. The other guy worked the shift, and I went and stood online. I said, if I go, I'll split the profits with you. I bought 6 tickets. I think they were like $30 each, and we sold them for 200 a pop. I think they called it the Victory Tour. I think Thriller was on the Victory Tour.
Oh, all right. Good story. You missed it.
Right.
New section, letter to the editor. Not new. I mean, like, new chapter. Let's go. Letters to the editor.
All right, here we go. This is from Sam. First time, long time. Never get sick of that. I am just sending a quick message to respond to your inquiry about how the new pre-recorded ads on Sunday papers. From my experience, they have been significantly louder and often inserted at very inopportune places, usually in the middle of sentences or words. Otherwise, I love the show and have listened since the first episode. Thanks for giving me something to look
Ah,
forward to at the start of each week. Best,
very nice of you
Sam.
to say, Sam.
So I guess I already kind of covered that, but there we go. I got a lot of those letters.
All right, we covered shirts and hats.
Shirts and
Well,
hats, go to fitzdog.com.
I
That's where
don't
you're going
think,
to see the link to the shirts. No, the
did you
hats are going to
mention
be,
hats?
no, hats, I think we're going to do, we have a surprise on hats, but that's going to be coming soon. Okay.
Let's get to Mr. Woolery, the obituary.
And that's all, folks.
Chuck Woolery, man, was he a fixture. Boy, it really makes you think how different TV was. Like, why was I even seeing daytime TV? Because there were so few channels. Chuck Woolery, the affable, smooth-talking game show host of Wheel of Fortune, Love Connection, and Scrabble. I didn't know this. He later became a right-wing podcaster, skewering liberals, Chuck, and accusing the government of lying about COVID-19. He has died of stupidity at the age of 83. No, I don't know actually what the cause of death was, but Chuck Woolery is no more.
I just looked up his net worth. Guess what his net worth is?
I mean, those are syndicated. Okay, I'm gonna say he made millions a year, right? It's probably 250 million?
Lower.
110 million?
Lower.
70 cents.
$10 million.
Impossible.
Yep.
Impossible.
Maybe he had some kind of a gambling problem. I don't know.
I mean, the amount of money. He was a host of multiple shows.
Yep. That were network syndicated. Shows, syndicated shows.
There was no, I mean, he did have to buy a lot of hair product.
Yep.
And a lot of tanning. There was a lot of tanning going on.
Yep.
But I mean, if he had to be pulling in multiple millions a year, beginning in the late 80s, in the early 90s, I think.
Yeah. I'm just scanning. Yeah. He went very conservative. He was a Christian and he was married 5 times. There you go.
There you go.
And the father of 5 children. Oh, his son died in a motorcycle accident. Oh, that's sad.
I think I do remember his tragedy in his family.
So his adopted daughter of actor David Nelson and granddaughter of Ozzy and Harriet Nelson. Okay.
I think we can move on from Chuck. Actually, our audience does know him.
Yeah, I mean, Chuck Woolery was a staple. He was a big deal. I always liked him. He had a great sense of humor. All right, let's cheer up.
Let's do the funnies. Here we go. All right.
All right, last week's caption. Well, again, if you want to write captions for or jokes for captions, we do it every week. You send them in to fitzdogradio@gmail.com. And the winner, who we judge to be the funniest joke of the week, gets a koozie sent to them in 1 to 3 days.
Just as slow as can be. Here we go.
So last week's caption was a gentleman sitting in a bar who looks inebriated. He's in a suit. And there's a pink giraffe that looks kind of hazy, almost like mystical. And he's standing there and the giraffe is talking.
Yeah, the guy's trying to shake it off. He knows he's seeing a vision, a hallucination.
So Kurt says, the last time I took a drink, I was mauled to death and abandoned by my herd. Anyway, sorry for the loss. Enjoy your blackout.
A lot of information there. Okay.
Yeah. Mike Sikorsky from Pittsburgh said, that glass of absinthe has you higher than my pussy right now.
Seemed like any way to get that word, that P word in there.
Yeah,
in that
felt
joke.
A little like
from Pittsburgh, PA.
Brian Woodhouse said, once you go pink, you'll never rethink.
All right, Brian. Okay. The giraffe's hitting on him. Okay.
Woody said, sorry, all the unicorns were booked.
Okay. He wanted to see a unicorn, I guess, when he drinks.
Emmanuel Huna said, I used to be a chunky pink elephant. See how Ozempic works?
Changed his species. Okay.
Kellyanne says, Jeffrey finally confronts his old boss from Toys R Us.
All right.
You remember Jeffrey the elephant?
Yeah.
Not the elephant, Jeffrey the giraffe.
Jeffrey the giraffe. That's, very specific back to an ad campaign.
Let's go down to Tom Keel. Remember when you asked God for a sign? This is it. Quit drinking, you stupid drunk.
Not bad. I like the idea.
It could have been worded better.
Not bad.
Edward says, just relax. Have another drink. The more you tense up, the more this will hurt.
Oh, the giraffe's going to have its way with him.
He's going to have his way. Brian Walker said, that wasn't a microdose, was it?
Well, you read that the right way. Yeah, that's that. You helped that.
Tim Daniels, Ellie's off tonight. I normally work the fentanyl circuit. And then he writes, side note, would be cool if you and Mike would write one. Here's another side note. Your listeners are likely comedy nerds. They totally get excited if you all expounded on writing good captions jokes.
All right. I'll write one for next week.
All right. Next week, we're each going to write one. And we'll give ourselves koozies. I guess if you want to talk about fundamentals of writing a good joke, I think brevity is the soul of wit. Keep it tight. Extra words do not help.
How about that's right, Frank, eyes up here. That doesn't really address that it's a vision.
Right. Also, there's a rhythm to comedy. Nobody can describe it. I don't know if you can teach it, but it's poetry. There's a rhythm and a meter to how words land and make you laugh. So rewrite it and rewrite it. Usually your first version of the wording is probably not going to be your best. Any advice, Mike?
Yeah, I have to text my daughter back right now.
Okay.
She just tried to call. I ignored it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, short. You definitely led. You didn't bury the lead, which is brevity. And you're going to try to avoid a lot of the first instincts. Not always, because sometimes you're naturally approaching it that way. So you've already not considered some of the easy ones. And then you have to have a point of view, I guess, in a way. And so what would it be here? Like, is your point of view, is it going to be sexual? Is it going to be drug related? Sometimes they can be very quirky and, you know, sort of they take a left turn. Those are rarely the first instinct. So those are worth looking at.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to say to yourself, are they going to get 10 of this joke? In which case you probably are not going to make the finals.
Yeah. And the joke is one thing. It's a little like what I'm teaching in the sitcom class. Like, your character really has one want. Don't split the drive. Like, it's also he wants to be, you know, win approval from his parents in addition to getting this job or whatever it is. So really try to make it one goal. It lends power to your story, that simplicity. And same with a joke in a way. You don't want to, like, for instance, the last time I took a drink, I was mauled to death and abandoned by my herd. Anyway, sorry for the loss. Enjoy your blackout. It seems like there's a bunch of things going on there.
Yeah. All right. Next week, the caption is...
Did you pick a winner?
Oh, no. Let's pick a winner. I'm sorry, everybody.
I'm
Jesus.
Trying to get out of Senegal koozie.
I know. Well, I like once you go pink, you'll never rethink. That's cute. I like Jeffrey because it's a good pull. It's a good reference.
The simplicity of the asking God for a sign wasn't bad from Tom.
Yeah, I feel like that the wording could have been better, but it's a good idea. That wasn't a microdose,
like, you know what?
Was it?
I like the one you read by Brian. That wasn't a microdose, was it?
Yeah, like, Brian Walker. I like that.
Because the problem is, Brian, you had Greg help you out, because the way it was written, it could have also been like, that wasn't a microdose, was it? Or like, there's many ways to read that. So you have to help the reader in the writing of your joke.
Yeah. All right. Congratulations, Brian Walker, the winner of this week's koozie for the caption contest. Next week's caption is, it looks like there's kind of an alley. In the background, you see a sign that says Easter Bunny here today. So clearly there's a store that has an Easter Bunny as a promotion. But now we're in the alley around the corner from the store. And the Easter Bunny is standing there with the head of his costume off, smoking a cigarette. There's a little kid in her mother's arms, and he's very upset. His mouth is wide open. He's looking up at the sky. He is clearly disillusioned. And upset. Did I describe that?
Well, I mean, people are going to see it, right? The kid's distraught, holding his head in his hands. He's looking up to his mom. He's fallen to his knees, and he's saying something to his mom about this cigar smoking on a smoke break Easter Bunny.
I think it's a cigarette. I don't think it's
okay,
a cigar.
That's good.
Okay. And by the way, Jason Love was our illustrator for this. Shout out to Jason Love for the caption.
All right, I already have mine. I know what I'm going to submit for next week.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Let's get to Hagar the Horrible. The king and his wife are sitting down. They've got goblets and they're dressed up. And there's a banging on the wall, it looks like. And she says, "Do you hear that? We have vermin in the walls." Second frame, Hager breaks through the wall and goes, name calling? Really? You're better than that, my queen. And I just like that he calls her my queen. So you little bit of ownership. He's already got her in the crosshairs. That's his queen. That's not the king's queen anymore.
Yeah, he's going to own that thing.
Yeah.
Also, I like the Lenny and Squiggy entrance.
Hello. Like,
I think we got Vermin. Hello.
Leroy and Loretta are sitting at the breakfast table. He's reading the paper. He's got sunglasses on. He said, you said you didn't want to see me roll my eyes at you again.
Solid.
Then we've got them sitting at the kitchen table and she's serving him something. And he goes, very creative, Loretta. I've never heard of a charcuterie board made from leftovers.
Right.
It's not great.
That's not great. Okay, this brings us to Dilbert. Haven't read it. Three panels. A guy I've never seen before. Is that Dilbert? In the red shirt?
Yeah.
Oh. I guess the red shirt threw me. All right, it's Dilbert. Dilbert walks in towards the guy with the smack your bitch up hair haircut. And he walks in and he goes, Dilbert says, I saw your email about destroying the company. And the guy goes, huh? And in the middle panel, it says, the guy with the hair says, the only email I sent you was my strategy for the coming year. And Dilbert goes, well, maybe I read it too fast. Good luck. I want to hear anyone defend this piece of garbage.
Wow. This is the number four best Dilbert comic strip of all time.
Come on.
Wow.
Is it just a bad attitude? Is that what's funny about having a bad attitude?
Unless he said that the plan is so bad that it's going to destroy the company. But I think that's giving it too much credit that that's what he meant.
I mean, this is as funny as something that says Mondays, am I right? Like, that's it. It's an attitude.
Yeah.
It's a bad attitude at work. Is that still funny to anyone? This is from 2016, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, listen, Dagwood sitting on the couch, his hands are in his pocket. Who else sits and watches TV? It's already that you know your wife's fucking working. She's cooking. And you're doing nothing and sitting on the couch. Now you're going to have your hands in your pockets on top of it. And so then Blondie walks in with a pie. And she goes, sweetheart, I'm running late to get to a catering job. A job. She's going to a job.
Yeah.
Cooking. And she goes, I need you to take this cherry cobbler to our new neighbors across the street and welcome them to our neighborhood. Thank you, honey. You're the best. And he's holding the pie now on the couch. So now you see a frame of him looking at the pie, a frame of him looking at camera. Final frame is him at the neighbor's house. The couple's out front and he says, hi, I'm Dagwood Bumstead. I live across the street. A pizza supreme and some hot wings will arrive here in 15 minutes. So he ate the fucking pie that his wife slaved over while he sat on the couch. And now he's going to spend the money that she's making at her catering job to give to these new neighbors, an inferior gift to them. Why?
I could see you sitting with your hands in your pockets trying to just dampen down that erection that you'd have constantly living with her.
Oh, my God. I would have fucked the pie. I would have been like American Pie.
What a wholesome Thanksgiving cartoon, comic, funny.
All right, we did it. Tight one today, which I think the audience will appreciate.
Not as tight as you thought. Weren't we trying for 110?
Yeah, we're going for 110. This was 118. Don't forget to support our sponsors, whoever they were, whatever they piped in at the beginning and the end of this. And we're going to remind you guys, we're both going to talk about Say Nothing next week. Hopefully I won't get so emotional. I think it made Mike uncomfortable.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, you switch topics really fast, like this getting too dark.
Oh, know. No, I switched it broader to other repressed peoples, more than repressed, Exploited Peoples?
Yes.
And
well, we did a whole episode without any politics. There was no mention of politics. I feel like last week we went a little heavy. And, you know, this week, I didn't plan it this way, but it's just the stories we pulled.
Well,
anyway.
America's great again. I mean, we covered that in Walmart.
Yep. Don't forget, T-shirts available. Go to fitzdog.com. Click on the link. Get yourself a T-shirt for the holidays. Get it for yourself. Get it for a loved one. And koozies also available for the holidays. Get them. We should have made a package deal for both, but we'll do that next year.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And this week, on FitzDog Radio this week, I had a great guest. I had Sam Morrell, who was amazing. That's out right now. And then next week, I got Howie Mandel coming on.
I spoke to Sam this week. He's doing
Did you?
The new, he's doing the New Year's show.
You sure about that?
Am I sure about what?
That he's doing it?
Yeah, he's confirmed, but I'm booking is tough for sure.
Okay. Look for the show. It's going to be on in December with Jeffrey Ross hosting, and Mike is
December
the head writer.
I think the day before we air Squid Game season 2 premieres.
Oh, nice lead in. I like it.
It's funny to still use the word lead in, but yeah, it's the most watched week of the year on Netflix. They're also that weekend, Christmas Day, Netflix is doing 2 NFL games.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I just read the Grammys in like 4 years or 5 years or will be on Disney Plus. Bye bye, network TV.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
Over.
Bye bye, cable.
All right. I will see you tomorrow.
Take it easy, everybody.
Take it easy.
Yeah, I get my news from 2 old white guys zooming in from anywhere. This Florida man, and hey, that's all, folks. You better take it easy. Waiting on Blondie and that fool Dagwood, when they gonna break it off? I need some updates about Gubbins. Oh no, oh no, oh no. He took too many edibles. Edibles, Gubbins took too many edibles. The Sunday papers podcast is mine.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of flavorful Kroger 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get juicy large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.